If you were not here last week, I would very, very highly recommend that you go online and listen to the sermon from last week. I believe that it was a word from the Lord specific to the church, but more specifically to our church. So if you didn't get a chance to hear that, please do. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. I heard an amen from somebody that was here, so that's good. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, I'm starting a series now, Lessons from the Nativity Story. As we approach the Christmas season, I'll tell you, Bud asked me one time, I don't know, maybe it was like after year one, he said, I don't know how, like, how do you preach every week? He's like, you think you kind of run out of stuff or you not really know, you know, some, especially the holidays, it's like you got the same text pretty much every year, and how do you make it new and fresh? And I'm like, I have no idea, bud. I haven't figured that out yet. Like, I'm still working on it. But it really can be like Thanksgiving can be challenging, and Christmas can be challenging to share something that's very familiar to everyone, but to do it in a new way, or especially a way that's going to be, maybe I'm going to learn something new that I didn't already know today. And so as I was praying about this, I actually had no idea all the way through Friday, until Friday, I had to go to court to be a witness, a character witness. And on my drive over there, I'm like, I do not have time for this today. Like, I need to be writing a sermon, which I should have had done yesterday and I didn't get done. And God, I don't even know what I'm preaching about. And he told me right there on the way to the courthouse. So praise the Lord. It's like, even that, something where I was like, this is really a waste of my time. He's like, no, it's not. I'm going to tell you on the way over there. I'm going to give you ideas to think about while you're sitting there and on the way back, and it'll be great. So I'm going to start this series here. And as I was reflecting on Joseph, how many of you know the story of Joseph? This is not Old Testament Joseph, not coat of many colors Joseph. This is Joseph, stepdad, foster father, whatever you want to call him, of Jesus, Joseph. And his life is one that's, it's oftentimes very overlooked in the Christmas story, right? Even in the nativity scene, it's kind of like, oh, look at Mary, look at Jesus, they look great. And like, oh, and there's Joseph. You know, like, people are more excited about the shepherds than they are Joseph a lot of times. And his story kind of gets overlooked a little bit. So I'm going to look at that today. But how many of you realize that most people do not see life unfold exactly how they have planned it? Does anybody say that their life has unfolded the way that you've planned it? I mean, maybe if you're young, okay, if you've got some years on you, it's definitely changed and it's not the way that you thought it would be. Because you know what? There are variables in life, right? There's a lot of variables in life. One of those variables is other people, right? And if I could just plan my life to be the way that I think it should be and the way that I want it, then that means I also have to plan your lives, right? Because you guys are variables that are in my life, and for my life to go the way that I want it, it means you guys have to also do what I want you to do, right? Otherwise, it changes what's going on. So this is why people make plans, and they have these passions and desires in life, and then what happens is other people mess them up, right? It's like the other people messed up my life. It's not my fault. No, and then we also change and adapt as we go through life. Even our passions and desires, especially as we go through different stages of life, they change, right? If you have newborns, obviously your life is a whole lot different than if you have grandkids, right? Passions and desires, those things change. Whenever you have little kids in the house, toddlers and stuff, you're trying to teach them and correct them, and then they go to the grandparents' house and they let them do whatever they want. Feed them a bunch of candy, send them home hopped up. They bring them to Connection Cafe, they get sugar in them. Then you tell them to be quiet in church, you know. But a lot of things change in our life. And even if things are going according to plan, maybe you've got mature and you're like, okay, well, I know I can at least kind of plan. I want to do this. Things could be going perfectly, exactly the way that you desire for them to. And then things happen, right? Something is going to come down the road that's going to, like, get you off track. One of my very favorite sayings of all time, I cannot do the voice, so I'm just going to say it normal, but Mama always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Forrest Gump. Everybody knows that. But that really is what life is like. You know, you get that box of chocolates. How many of you like when they put the cheat code on the back, right? You can flip it over and you can see what all the chocolates are. They show you, they're like, if you look at this one, it's going to have this inside. I remember a day when you didn't get that. You just bit into that thing and you're like, that's nasty. Why would they even put that in here, right? Nowadays, you just look at the box and you're like, I only like that one, the one with the caramel in it. The rest of them somebody else can have. So somebody like Bud picks out the three with the caramel in it. He eats all of them. It's like, Melissa, here's some candy. Have at it. Jimmy's like, I'll eat it. I don't care what flavor it is. Right? But we didn't used to get that. So like, life is like that. It's like a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get. And, you know, Forrest Gump gets a lot of credit for that. But remember, Mama said it. All right? It's really not Forrest Gump's wisdom. It was Mama's. But how true is that for our life today, that you really don't know what you're going to get? No matter how you plan it, you don't know what the actual road is going to be like. You don't know what the actual outcome is even going to be like. But how comforting is it knowing that whatever you face, that God is in control? I mean, you don't know what you're going to get, but you at least know who's in control. If you've placed your hope and your faith in Jesus, we know that by his word, he says he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will be with us. And so today, as I look into this nativity story and we look at the story of Joseph, we're going to look at some of the difficulties Joseph had to face. Again, his story gets suppressed and just kind of pushed to the side, but he had a lot of difficulty in this story that he had to overcome. So if you want to turn there with me, I'm going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18 to 25, it says this. It says, the birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. When Joseph got up from sleeping, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not know her intimately until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. Now just imagine being Joseph in this story, okay? Joseph's world really got flipped upside down really quickly in a real short amount of time. And it tells us that he was a righteous man. He was a man of character. He was a man of integrity. And now, so he's engaged to this young woman, Mary. And I want to tell you that Jewish, I don't know what it's like now, but in this setting, in this day and time, Jewish engagement was a big deal, okay? Jewish engagement was much more serious than what today's American engagements are like, right? People get engaged, sometimes they're engaged for like 17 years, sometimes they're off again, on again, they don't ever set a date, and, you know, and it's broken a lot, it's not taken seriously in many instances. But in this day and age, when you were engaged, you were actually legally already considered husband and wife, even though there was no union that had taken place. So this engagement was legally binding, and it was actually legally binding much of the same way that marriage is today. It could only be broken by death or divorce. Once you were engaged, like, it was over, okay? You still had the ceremony, you still had marriage, but once you were engaged, you were locked in. So for Joseph, you got to imagine life is good, right? He's got Mary, he's engaged to her, working on the wedding details, waiting for that day. And here he is, a godly man, righteous man. He's going to marry this godly young lady. So I'm sure they were excited, right? They're excited about the future, and they're probably, since they're godly people, they're probably like, I'm excited about what God has in store for us. I'm excited about, man, what? Just imagine their conversation. Mary, you know, just a few more weeks or whatever, we're going to be married, and like, man, I wonder what God's going to do. What do you think he's going to do with us? Like, can you imagine what he's going to do in our life? One day we'll have a child, you know, maybe we'll name him like Tim or Jason or Mark or Dave or, I've been thinking about a lot of names and I'm pretty excited about it. I don't know, do you want to have kids right away or you want to wait? Like, maybe we should have already been talking about this stuff. You know, they're probably excited and they're like, what is God going to do with us? This is exciting. This is a great time in our lives. And they probably had their own plans, right? They probably had it laid out. We're going to do this, and we're going to shoot for these goals, and they're probably excited about it. But we know God has his own plans. How many of you have had your own plans in your life? You've had everything laid out the way that you want to do it. Life is going good. Everything's going according to plan, and then, bam, all of a sudden, something unexpected happens. Something you would have never seen coming, right? Maybe it's like a little speed bump in the road, or maybe it was even more severe than that. Maybe it was almost like you lost control of the car and wrecked the car, and you're not even on the same path anymore from the plan that you had set up and thought, this is it. This is where I'm going in life. This is what I desire. Have you ever considered that God allowing this to happen in your life was to get you off of the plan and the path that you created, and to get you on the plan and the path that he created for you? This happens in life. We really have got to understand, and I know that I can imagine being in Joseph's shoes, but when we're in this situation, we've got to understand and remember that God truly knows and desires what is best for us. He truly desires and knows what is best for us always. Every time, okay? If we're to the point where God has brought us to a place or allowed us to come to this place that doesn't seem to make sense for us, listen, if God has brought you there, if God has allowed you to get there, okay? Sometimes there's just, we make stupid decisions that get us on different paths, but if God has brought you to a place or allowed you to a place, then that is the best place that you can be at that point. It's the best place you can be at that point, and something good will come of it. God is good and wants good for you, even if it doesn't make sense to you. That can be a difficult one to remember, right? Because frustration sets in and we're like, Lord, what are you doing? Like, we just want to know. Like, can you just tell me what is going on? Why don't you come to me in a dream like Joseph and tell me what is going on here? We just got to trust that he knows what is good for you, even if it doesn't make sense. There are scriptures that we declare to people all the time when they're in a situation like this. Jeremiah 29:11 is one of those. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope, or a future and a hope. We say that to people all the time when they're going through stuff. Man, God's got a future for you. He has good things for you. He has a hope and a future. Like, man, it is going to be great. Well, that's easy to say when you're on the side where, like, everything's going good and according to plan. It's easy to say to other people. We also use Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has great things for you. He's got things planned, and they're going to be good. These are great, again, for other people, but do you believe them for your own life? That's the question today. Do we believe that God actually has good plans for me? Or do we just believe that God has good plans for somebody else? That's a hard place, but I think a lot of Christians find themselves in that place. I'm at different points in my walk, I found where I'm in that camp, right? I believe God can do anything in your life. In mine, I don't have a whole lot of faith at the moment. You know, I don't have a whole lot of hope because of what I'm going through, right? We can get in that place. But do we believe that God can do it for us? If you do, I want to say that's great, but I also can promise you that there will certainly include surprises. There will certainly include the unexpected. Okay, so God has great plans for you, but those plans include surprises. Those plans include the unexpected. And for Joseph, we see here he had the, you know, this perfect engagement. And then God brings an interruption. God brings this thing in his life that was a surprise and something unexpected. His wife, you know, back then they actually would call them wife, even though they weren't officially married. His wife is pregnant, and it's not his. Right? This is a pretty serious issue. And he knows it's not his because they haven't been intimate. Now, I picture Joseph getting the news. I mean, especially if you're a guy, imagine you receiving this news, okay? If you're a lady, imagine having to deliver this news. It had to be a very uncomfortable situation. Imagine it going something like this. You know, Mary very nervously is like, hey, honey, funny story. You won't believe what happened to me today while you were out working for our family. And before you get upset, let me get the whole story out. Like, don't jump ship after the first few words, because it's like you need to hear the whole thing. So I'm pregnant, and God is the father. I mean, you just imagine that. I'm pregnant, and God is the father. And I imagine Joseph being like, yeah, I know God is the father, but who in the world is the father of this baby? Where is he at? Where can I find this guy? And what are we going to do now? You know, imagine how badly this messed up Joseph's plans. Just imagine the trauma, you know, right there when he's finding out and he's like, and you know, Mary's already been dealing with it. Don't think for a second this wasn't a big mess up with her plans and traumatic to her, but she's already had a little time to soak it in, right? Before he gets home and she's like, okay, I think if I pitch it like this, maybe he'll receive it. Like, but she's also got a lot going on here. But it messes up their plans. And just think of a man getting close to his wedding day. Just this point alone, right? This man, this righteous man, has been waiting for his wedding day. Now, if he proceeds down this road, he can't consummate the wedding for 10 to 11 months. This totally messed up his plans, right? If you know anything about guys and their wedding night, they are really looking forward to that. And Joseph's like, so now if I stick with her, now I got to wait another 10 to 11 months. God, you have really royally messed up my plans. I guarantee this was not a part of his plan, but it was part of God's. And we need to remember things like Ecclesiastes chapter 3 tells us there's an occasion for everything. There's a time for every activity under heaven, a time to give birth, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, and it goes on and on and on. There are times for things that God has an understanding about that we do not. That's why it requires some trust. Because to me, this seems like really bad timing, God. If I'm Joseph, this is really bad timing. Like, and maybe you could have come to me first and kind of let me know what was going on before you went to her. Like, these are the ways that I would be thinking if I'm Joseph. Like, you couldn't have come and let us in on the plan together. You know, it would have made things a whole lot easier for us. Sometimes we are so busy trying to live our lives, trying to meet our plans, our goals, our milestones in life, that we forget that there is a plan that is much greater than our own. Right? There's a plan that's much greater than our own. There's a purpose that's greater than ourselves, and that's God's will. God's will is that greater thing that is going on. And how many of you know that God's will be done? It will be done. I love in Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar says this in chapter 4, verse 34 to 35. At the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. Just think about that for just a minute. He lifted his eyes to heaven, and then his understanding returned to him. He put his focus on God, understanding comes. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion. And his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing. and he does what he wants with the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, there is no one who can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" See, when he turns his eyes to heaven, understanding comes. And the understanding is, he is the Most High. Like, God Almighty is the Most High. What he's doing, what he's got going on, is greater than what I'm doing and what I've got going on. His dominion lasts forever, right? His kingdom is from generation to generation. See, I'm just going to live one generation. And his kingdom goes on and on and on. And the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing because he does what he wants. He is in control. He is the Lord Almighty. And there's no one that can stop him, is ultimately what he's getting at. There's no one that can hold back his hand. There's no one that can stop him. And we really don't have the right to say to him, "What have you done?" Right? Sometimes we want to. Sometimes we probably even do. We're like, "God, what have you done?" Listen, we don't have a right to question the workings of God. We don't have a right to question the workings of God. I'll tell you that the workings of God, they are what's best. Again, they're for your ultimate good. They're right. And yes, the timing of it is even right. It doesn't seem like it to us sometimes, but God's timing is always right. Now, it is okay to desire understanding. I'm not saying that at all. You can say, "God, I'd really like to know what's going on here. God, I'd really like for you to bring some clarity. I'd like for you to come to me like in a dream or send an angel or whatever." But what we don't question is we don't question God's motive. We don't question God's reasoning, but it's okay to desire his understanding. He does what he does because he knows the plan. He knows more of the plan. He knows all of the pieces. And his ways are truly higher than our ways. Amen? They truly are. His thoughts are truly higher than our thoughts. And this is why we have to trust him. We have to trust him. Joseph's in this position. Again, he's engaged to this woman. Now she's pregnant and the baby is not his. Now again, I'm going to tell you, this is a serious issue for Joseph because remember, they're engaged and basically they're legally bound already, can only be separated through death or divorce. Okay? Back in Deuteronomy 22, we're told that if a man found on his wedding night that his wife was not a virgin, does anybody know what he had the right to do? Yeah, he would take her to her father's house. Imagine this. Imagine being the dad when he shows up bringing your daughter back. You know, he could bring her to her father's house and be like, "She was not a virgin, and the people of the town, the men of the town, could stone her to death." This is what Joseph was facing. His wife to be, and she is a virgin, but I mean, this is really hard to explain to people, right? They're like, "Hey, I know she's pregnant. It wasn't me. It wasn't somebody else." Nobody's going to believe this. I mean, he's got to have some courage here to follow God's plan. Not only does he have to have trust, but he has to have courage because he's like, "This could get really bad for me. Not only does this mess up my plans, but it's just a messed up situation that we got going on here." So the reason they did this in that day was they would make public examples out of women who did not save themselves for marriage. And so imagine Joseph's perfect world crashing down when he gets this news. I mean, again, Joseph, it says he was a just man. He was a righteous man. So he obviously loved her, and he did not want Mary to be made an example of. This is why it tells us that he was thinking about, he's thinking about, what do I do? Like, how do I divorce her quietly, right? Make this secret. Like, I don't want to shame her publicly. I don't want her to die. I still love her, but she's having a baby and it's not mine. Like, what am I to do? God had other plans, right? As he's thinking about this, he's pondering this divorce or how to do this. And he's probably even getting the realization that if I do this, if I go through with this divorce, like, things really aren't going to be, the end result's still going to be the same for Mary. He had to be thinking this. She's going to start showing at some point. And now, like, we're not together anymore. She's still going to be pregnant. She still might end up with the same result. Think of all these things that are going through his mind. He's thinking about these things. And praise God that God is right on time. And he sends an angel in a dream. This angel confirms to Joseph that this child that is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Man, thank you, Lord. That's what Joseph's got to be thinking. This still is a little bit whacked out. This plan is not, like, it seems like we could have done this a better way, but thank you for revealing this to me because I don't know what I was going to do. Now I want to pause there for a minute. Let me think about this, that Mary, she conceived the child, and it was by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't like magic, okay? It was the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, there are people today, and maybe even in this very church, that you do not believe that God can move in strange ways. You find a stranger way that God has moved than this. Find a stranger way that God has moved. He made, like, this isn't even God spoke into creation like we see in the creation of the world. We don't even really know how this happened. We know the Holy Spirit did it, right? This is very strange, especially if you know biology and you know how it all works. And it's like, how did the Holy Spirit do that? It just doesn't even make sense. You can't really wrap your mind around it, right? God moves in strange ways. This is about as strange as it gets. And if you don't believe in miracles, then you don't believe in the virgin birth. I'm going to tell you that if you don't believe in the virgin birth, then you do not believe in the birth of Jesus, who died on the cross. And if you don't believe in Jesus, then you cannot be saved. You realize that all of our faith goes all the way back to God working in some crazy, strange way that none of us would buy today. None of us would buy it, right? You imagine your daughter or your fiance or sister, anybody coming to you and being like, I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit. No man has touched me. You'd be like, you are nuts and we're taking you to get checked out. Right, straight to the clinic to get a mental eval. This is the way that God chose to birth our faith. It was through a miracle that does not make sense to man. And yet we still have people, even Christians, that walk around this earth saying, God doesn't move in strange ways like that. That doesn't make sense to me, and God would not do that. Oh yeah, he would. God does very strange things. God works in very strange ways, over and over and over and over. And so before Christians get to this point where we're wanting to squash the supernatural and the miraculous and the things that don't make sense to us, we need to go back to this story right here. And we need to get reacquainted with a God who does very strange, unorthodox things because he is God. And like we read earlier, he does things the way he wants. And we don't have the right to say, how dare you do it like that? You can't do things like that. He is God. He's a miracle working God. Amen? He does things that are strange. He does things that are unexpected, that are unorthodox. And I'd go as so far to say that if you don't believe in God moving in ways that are unnatural, then I'm certain that you don't believe in our God who is supernatural. He is a supernatural God, right? But you say the supernatural, that's another one of those bad words, right? One of those, like, it's kind of like I always go back to the hate word. Nobody believes that they hate anyone until you study what hate means. The strong dislike, having like a, just a real burning, like, I just can't stand this person. Most people have been there in life. When you look at the word supernatural, it's like, all right, supernatural, now you're getting weird. No, I'm not. I'm not getting weird at all. Like, listen, we're living in the natural, but there is supernatural things happening around us. And it starts all the way back here with the virgin birth. It went way back before that. I'm just talking about going back to the origin of our, are of the Messiah coming to the world. See, our God is supernatural, does things that do not make sense to man. And you imagine Joseph and his plans getting totally ruined by the supernatural. Totally ruined. Joseph's like, everything's out the window, Mary. New plan, right? I'm not in control, you're not in control, God's in control, and we're going to see what happens, you know? But here's the thing I love about this with Joseph is once he realizes this is God's plan, we're told that he doesn't continue to think these thoughts. He doesn't continue to go, well, but how am I going to spin that to people and what am I going to do? No, he just simply trusts God. It says at the end of that he just got up from sleeping and he went and was obedient and took Mary to be his wife. He's just like, okay, God, this makes no sense to me. It's not going to make sense to anyone else, but I trust you and I'm going to do what you said. He remained obedient, takes Mary as his own, raises her son as his own. And it'd be an amazing story if it just ended right there. If this was just, he's just going to be the stepdad of Mary's son. This was not just any son. This is the Son of God. So he's not only taking the responsibility of this child that is not his, but this is a pretty, I mean, you think what God has placed in your hands is pretty weighty? Imagine being the stepdad to the Son of God. All right, this is a big responsibility that he has here. And you know, he knows up front the angel told him. So this isn't even like he doesn't know. He knows that this is the Son of God who is here to deliver his people from their sins. This is a huge responsibility he has. And what we've got to remember is that Joseph, and even Mary for that matter, they were just ordinary people. They were just ordinary people. You know, I think because of we know the rest of the story, we kind of build them up to be like, man, they must have been like holy of holy, like never sinned. They were these perfect people. She was a virgin who loved the Lord. He was a man that was engaged to her that loved the Lord. That was about it. They're regular people who loved God. Why would he choose to use them? Like, and I kind of wonder if they were thinking this. They're like, why? Like, why would he pick us? He could have picked this person or that person. Like, why us? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 31 says, brothers, consider your calling. Not many are wise from a human perspective, not many powerful, not many of noble birth. Instead, God has chosen what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God has chosen what is insignificant and despised in the world. What is viewed as nothing to bring to nothing what is viewed as something, so that no one can boast in his presence. But it is from him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became God-given wisdom for us, our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, in order that, as it is written, the one who boasts must boast in the Lord. This is why he used ordinary people, right? If he had used the priest or, you know, somebody of royalty, somebody who was viewed as really something in the land, that had been like, oh, well, of course they could be the mom and dad of the Messiah, right? Because they're something, they're somebody, they're holy, they're righteous, they've done all this, they have money, and all these reasons that man would give. He chooses these people here. Joseph was just a guy. He's just a guy who loved God, a guy who served God, but he's just a guy. But we know that God had a plan, right? He had a plan that could not have been comfortable for Joseph and certainly was not easy. But he reveals this plan through an angel. I want to tell you that Joseph still had tremendous responsibility. Many of us are you might be thinking right now, man, if God would just give me my plan through an angel, man, life would be so much better. Life would be so much clearer. I would have better understanding. and everything would be a cakewalk from here on out. You know, Joseph still had to hold up his end of the deal. He still had to continue to be a man of righteousness. He still had to continue to walk after the Lord. He had to continue to seek God. He had to continue to be that man that God had put in this place. How many of us, once we know what God's plan is for our lives, we just assume that's going to make it easy and that's going to make it comfortable? Man, I've been there, done that. I'm like, Lord, if you would just kind of tell me these things, like everything would be easy. No, it wouldn't. Wouldn't be easy at all. See, we can get this false thinking that God is going to work everything out nice and smooth and we're just along for the ride. Joseph and Mary were not just along for the ride. They had great responsibility. And this is why I believe he told them, this is the Son of God that is going to save the world, save the people from their sins. Like, they needed to know up front how important this is. You need to know how much responsibility you have. They weren't just along for the ride. I personally have learned that God doesn't operate like that. He doesn't just say, here you go, I'll do everything, I'll do all the work, and you just enjoy the ride, right? Just enjoy the ride. Your name's going to be on billboards and in the stars. Like, you're going to be something because I'm doing everything and you're just going along with me. No, we have to take care of our end of the deal just like Joseph did. See, when God calls you to do something, or he may make an unexpected surprise pop up in your life, even if he gives you the comforting words of, it's going to be like this, and it's going to be like this, this is what it's going to look like, you still have to hold up your end of the bargain. You still got to show up. Joseph had to take Mary as his wife. Again, no intimacy for several months. He had to live as though this child was his own in the face of a culture that would condemn these actions to death. This was not easy. Even knowing God's plan, it still was not easy. This child was the Son of God, Jesus, who will save people, including Joseph and Mary, from their sins. You know, maybe today you're in this room and God has brought about change in your life. There's something that has come up in your life that has taken you off the plan that you once had. Maybe even a plan that you thought, once you've become a Christian, you put together this plan and you thought, this is really where God wants me to go. Maybe he's brought a surprise, something that's unexpected. Maybe he's even shown you what is to come. You know, it's still not going to be easy. All of us just want it. We all want easy. Raise your hand if you don't want easy. Everybody wants easy. There's no promise that it's going to be easy. There's no promise that it's going to be comfortable. As a matter of fact, I feel confident saying it will not be easy. It won't be easy. You think about somebody like an NBA superstar. Right, somebody who just has the gift of basketball, and they're just better than everybody on every level, grade school, junior high school. They get to college, and they're just dominating everybody. I'm going to tell you what, once they get up into the NBA, those guys still practice. They still practice. There comes a realization to most of them. Some of them don't, and they end up being a nobody. Some of them, they grasp it and they're like, you know what? These other guys are also really, really good. These other guys were also the best in their state, in their school, in their whatever. And I've got to continue to practice if I want to be the best, if I want to be on top, if I want to win championships, if I want to win MVPs. You would think if anybody would have an easy ride, it'd be somebody like that, right? I'm the best. I'm going to go and dominate everywhere I go. They still practice. They still work hard. They still realize they have to rely on teammates, that it's not all about them. And life is not easy. Listen, wherever God has called you to, it's not easy. If your life is easy, you're probably not doing what God has called you to do. there's truth in that, okay? If your life is easy, if everything's perfect, you're probably not doing what God has called you to do. And we use that a lot with the enemy attacking, right? If the enemy's attacking you, then you must be doing something great that he's trying to stop you from. That is true. I believe in that. I believe that if the enemy is attacking you, that God may be trying to use you to do something great. But I also believe that if life is easy, then maybe we're not doing what God has called us to do. Maybe we're not doing what God has called us to do. So again, if you're in this room today, maybe you're in that place where God has brought change. Listen, you might not like it. You might not like it. God brings change sometimes. And you imagine, again, Joseph. And I'm thinking, there's no way that he liked this change right at the beginning. He's probably not like, even after he knows the plan, he's probably like, he was an obedient man. He was a righteous man. So he said he's going to go along with it. But there had to be something in him that was like, seems like this would have been a whole lot better, though, if we would have done things my way. Right? Because that's what his desires are, what his hopes are. We may not like it. We may even doubt what God's plan is for us. We may doubt where he has us going. We may question it. But what we've got to do in the end is we've got to, just like Joseph, we've got to trust that what God has planned for us is what is best for us. What God has planned is best. And you know what? You may even consider yourself an ordinary person and think, why would God use me? Why would he pick me to do this? Or maybe you're thinking the opposite. He won't pick me to do something. Oh, he will. He will. God will use anyone who is willing to be used. Anyone. If you're willing to be used by God, God will use you. But I'm going to tell you, he may not use you in the way that you want him to use you. We have to be open and trust him. There's one rule in that. We've got to understand that he's in charge, and we've got to trust that. You got to understand he's in charge, and you've got to trust it. Do we trust the comforts and systems of life more than we trust God? Sometimes I think that we do. Sometimes I think we trust in our job or our family or our hobbies or whatever types of things we have in our life. Sometimes we trust those more than God. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. That's where it's at. It's in remembering the name of the Lord your God, like Nebuchadnezzar and looking to the heavens. And then you get understanding and you're like, oh yeah, back on track. God's in control. Thank you. I'm gonna look up. God's going to remind me. Thank you. I'll be back on track. It's your kingdom. Your kingdom goes on for generations. I'm just going to be obedient. What about when we're faced with tragedy or we're faced with conflict in our lives? Do we lose hope or do we trust God? Psalm 56, verse 3, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Notice what it says there. Whenever I am afraid. This means it happens. This means that the psalmist does get afraid. He does have things happen in his life where he's like, I have fear right now. I may have worry. I may have doubt. I may have confusion. And he acknowledges that, but he says, but what I will do is I will trust in you, Lord. Those things will come, but what I will choose to do is I will choose to trust you. Things happen in life. Just like they did to Joseph here. Some things are by God's design. Some things may be things that he allows to happen. Some things might be consequences of our actions catching up to us. Okay? But in the end, these things all lead us to having the same need to trust God. They all lead us to having the same needs in our life, which is to submit to him, to trust him. Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. I would say raising the Son of God was a pretty extraordinary thing that he used Joseph and Mary to do. They were just ordinary people. They were young, ordinary people. God used this righteous man named Joseph to be the stepfather to the Savior of the world. Talk about a big task. Emmanuel, God with us. Whatever God has brought into your life, whatever unexpected things, whatever surprises that he has brought upon your life, if you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, he is with you. Like, there's no thing that's going to be too big that you can't overcome it. There's no thing that's going to be too big that you can't even see it out or fulfill it if you can remember to look to the heavens. If you can remember to look to him and to realize that you have to do it by your strength in Christ, not your strength in yourself. That we have to trust him. Like Joseph, also in that trust comes courage. Right? Sometimes you have to be brave enough to actually trust him and follow his path because he has something more for you. If you would stand to your feet in this place. This morning I feel like there's people that are in this place in their lives where, and maybe God has thrown some kind of surprise out there. Maybe it's just something that he's allowed. But there's some kind of uncertainty in your life that you question God, that you maybe you even are disappointed in God. Maybe you're even a little bit angry or upset. I'm going to tell you this morning that that's okay. It's okay to be in that place as long as your next step is to look to the heavens. So we're going to give an opportunity for prayer this morning. What I want to ask you to do this morning is if this fits you, what I've been preaching on this morning, if it fits you that I'm in a place where I know I need to trust God and maybe you just can't. Listen, sometimes that's where we're at as people and as a family. I want us to be open and honest with one another. Sometimes you need to trust him. And you just can't. Like, you've tried. And you can't. I want you to come. I want you to get prayer this morning. Because, listen, we can believe with you and for you. And our God is greater than your can't. He is. And I believe that by the power of prayer, that he can. Remember, we serve a miracle-working God. A God who conceived a baby in Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just bam. A child is born. So this morning, Gwen, can I get you to come pray for some ladies? I'm going to have Gwen and Mark come forward. And if you need prayer today, listen, I do not want you to hesitate to come down. I prefer that ladies go to Gwen and men go to Mark. If we get backed up, it's fine. You can go to the other. But I'm really believing that God can bring healing in your life this morning. I really believe that if there's an area that you don't trust the Lord for your provision, for your future, for your family, for change, whatever it is, I believe that today in an act of obedience coming down with us, praying with you, that God can do that in your life. And maybe you don't even know the Lord. Maybe you're not sure. Maybe you're not, I don't know if I'm in right standing with him. I don't know him as Lord and Savior. I want you to come for that as well. And we will pray with you this morning because we believe in a miracle working God. Amen. We believe in a God who is greater and stronger. And listen, we have a God who is not just able, but he is willing. We have a God who is alive. Thank you, Jesus. We have a God who died on the cross for our sins, but then he rose from the dead that we could have victory in his name. Amen? So as a victorious people, listen, We're walking out of this place in victory today. Each and every person in this place, if you'll come and you'll receive prayer, maybe you just want to worship on your own, that's fine. But I'm saying that today you have the option of walking out of this building in victory. Amen? All right, as you're ready, come down for prayer. We'd love to pray with you this morning.